Good morning. Today is Tuesday, October the 3rd. Joining us this morning is noted CPA, flat note, Bill McCauley.
Yeah, one big flat note.
Yeah. Geez, I saw a certain banker dude last week, and he kind of threw you under the bus.
Really?
Something about moving a bench across the street.
Yeah.
But apparently CPAs have more juice in the city of Eureka than bankers do.
Well, that was a long time ago with a different city manager and different times.
Oh, I see.
But yeah, the actually, yeah, there were... To make a short story long, yeah, there was a bench with a lot of that was kind of protected from the view of things, not except from my office. And there was lots of kind of strange behaviors that would go on. That, you know, when they moved the bench across the street to where it's a much more open place, I think it's the behavior level is better.
I like people sitting on it.
Yeah,
people, instead of other things. Yeah. Okay. Just something for the city planners to be able to understand and appreciate throughout the listening area.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I mean, I could go into it, but
don't need to.
Yeah, but
don't give away your ideas for free. Let them call you.
Sure,
and then you can challenge them.
I will not be standing by with my hand on the handset, waiting for the phone.
Don't wait for it to ring, baby.
Right on.
Our quote this morning comes from Joan Miro. If you have any notion of where you're going, you'll never get anywhere. Like I said, it was kind of a thought provoker.
Hmm. I like, if a man knows not what harbor he seeks, no light will be enough.
That's kind of sort of the same.
Yeah.
Go forth and conquer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's even less words. We get it down.
Yeah.
Do something. Okay, that's two. speaking of doing something, a little bit of an indication last week. Now, I don't know if we can call it tax reform. Because the first things out of the mouth, I think it was Thursday morning, early, one of the overnight shows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a quote from Chuck Schumer saying, well, if this is a bipartisan effort, it's interesting how we weren't asked. We weren't involved. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, here we go again. But it does at least indicate that there is some thought that there might actually be some tax reform.
Yep.
Is that in and of itself a significant breakthrough?
Well, I think we all knew that there would be tax reform. There would be efforts to reform the tax system, and probably those efforts are going to be successful. It's a question of what's ultimately going to look like. And, you know, we've got a lot of there's a lot of governors on some of this stuff that people have to think through and work through in order to make all this work. But yeah, I think we knew that we were going to see something like this. We didn't know what the timing was. I mean, if you would have listened during the election, it was going to happen, you know,
a week and a half,
several months ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, I think this is probably, you know, this is a start. You know, that what they're doing is saying these are some principles that we agree on, at least the people that are putting the principles forth. That are saying, hey, these are things that we agree on that are kind of be a baseline. They're calling it a framework for tax reform. And so I think it's not a shocker that we have something like this. But as always, it's going to be a murky set of messages as we work through it. I mean, it always is. It's complicated. But sometimes we try to break things down into really easy terms that work really well for a soundbite, but don't necessarily work so well when you get to the nuts and bolts.
Yeah, the initial thoughts and comments were very broad brushed. The rich, the poor, the middle class.
Yeah.
Or it was the rich and business owners. I thought, okay, it isn't necessarily the same group.
Yeah, it can be mutually exclusive, right?
So you kind of look at it, and it is always intriguing. I guess that's kind of how the game gets played, is that you set the parameters of the discussion, and then let's get into the detail of it.
Yeah.
From what is known in the most general terms at this point, does it look like there's actually some elements that are truly tax reformation?
Yeah, I think it does. And keep in mind, I don't normally do this, but this is recorded. We're a little ahead. We're ahead of the weekend. And so it is possible that things we talk about today could be made more clear or more murky over the weekend. And so I just don't want people
or
to...
Maybe, well, no, no. We've got the NFL this weekend. Don't worry about it.
We won't... It'll be a second story anyway. Except, did they kneel, stand, sit, whatever.
Yeah. So with the tax reform, do you see any bright, shining lights that go, hey, this is kind of cool?
Well, I think that the framework, which again, this is really a broad brush. There's not a lot of details in between. This is more like building a building, and you go out and you get a can of paint and spray it on the ground to say maybe we could build here and here. And
I thought you were going to say artist rendition with crayons.
Yeah. So it's, you know, this is really, really rough. And we don't know what these things will actually look like. But I do see some elements of potentially simplification, which I think would be tax reform. The tax code is too complicated. Compliance is too difficult. Too many people can't, you know, struggle to do their own tax returns because of the complexity with the system. It's very difficult to understand. And if we can do things to take steps to make the system more transparent to others, and where some people aren't rewarded for esoteric tax strategies, you know, because they're not incentivized that way.
A lot of times we hear about test balloons. Mm-hmm. Is this a test balloon?
I think this is, I don't think it's a, I mean, I guess you could look at it that way. I really think it's the first step. This is what's going to happen. They're saying, hey, this is the principles that the people who have put this forth are saying, these are the principles that we want to start on. And the direction we want to go is 100% of what's in here, what's in this quote unquote United framework, going to come into play exactly as they've kind of put it as their bullet point list? Probably not. I mean, this is really a bare bones, ultra bare bones commentary on what we're doing.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action, all season long. Brought to you on KINS, in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're really not back, but we're back with Bill McCauley.
We are so back.
Because I'm
way back
in the Midwest.
You are.
Tell it goodbye.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well,
I was listening to some Lon Simmons quotes.
I hope you're having a nice trip.
I hope it's brisk. It was like 40 as a high two days ago.
So you're the guy who emailed me yesterday complaining about the weather, the heat. So
the heat. That heat, yes. Yeah, give me crisp. looking at that initial salvo with the tax reform that the president put forth last week, is there enough to even to make an educated understanding of what he's talking about?
Yeah,
what the proposal is.
I think there is. What they're pushing for things that they will call simplification, such as reducing the number of tax brackets. So we have, I think, 7 now, and they're going to go down to 3. And so currently, as described, a 12%, 25%, and 35% tax brackets. And then they've kind of held back the possibility that they may need another one to make sure that the progressivism in the tax code is maintained. And, you know, they're making a stated comment that they may have to have a fourth higher rate for high-income people to make sure that
over 35%?
Yes. They may need to, in order to make this not shift the tax burden from one class to another.
If there was a higher than 35, I would suggest that would probably stifle a lot of the comments that the rich aren't paying their fair share.
Currently, it's 39.6 is the top end on federal. So if you live in California and you're making over $1 million of income, which we can all agree is a lot of money, your California tax is going to be well over 12% effectively. Your federal tax is going to be 39.6. You're going to have Medicare tax on top of that at 3.8% on some of that income, maybe a big percentage of it. Are you doing the math?
Yeah, you're over 55 now.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Now, some of those things, there's some moving pegs in there. In other words, under current law, you can deduct, in many cases, state income taxes, but they're proposing to make some changes in that area.
That's what I was wondering with the deductions, which I suppose from a simplification perspective, complicate. Okay, I mean, if you got this, you got that. Now that's where some of the gamesmanship occurs. If it was more just structured and there weren't as many deductions, I know the real estate guys have theirs, the medical guys have theirs. I mean, there's a bunch of different things that are out there. But if everybody was paying lesser, then perhaps the deductions aren't as necessary. I would think that would be down that trail called simplification.
And that's what the proposal is. The problem is it's really difficult when you're broad brushing a proposal to really go down and do a model that really predicts behavior based upon changes. You know, so it's all really preliminary because ultimately you have to look, and most of the models our government uses to predict behavior based on taxes haven't historically worked that well. For minor changes, yes. For major changes, no. And so, you know, we're going to have to, there's a lot of work to be done to get from here to the end of the run. But what they're proposing is to do away with the state and local income tax deduction. So, as an example, we in California pay state income tax with our tax returns if our income's high enough. And we get a deduction, a federal itemized deduction for the state income tax that we pay. We get a deduction for the property taxes we pay. We get a deduction for a portion of our DMV fee. This would do away with these, with the idea that you're going to have more income maybe that's taxed, but it's going to be taxed at a lower rate. So does that mean you're necessarily paying more or less tax? Doesn't. What it does mean is you might be paying tax based on a simpler model.
Right, yeah, the net down might be the same, but yeah.
And the other side of that particular piece is that this proposal or this framework indicates that the alternative minimum tax will go away. And we've talked about the alternative minimum tax over the years. The alternative minimum tax is a second tax calculations track that many taxpayers and increasingly more taxpayers have to calculate their tax using the regular tax. Then you calculate your tax using the alternative minimum tax system, and then you pay the higher of the two taxes. So as an example, if my regular tax I calculated is $10,000, but my alternative I calculate the tax under the alternative minimum tax and it's $11,000, I pay $11,000 in tax. And what the alternative minimum tax does is it does away with certain deductions like state and local like state income taxes. So you don't deduct the state income taxes under the AMT. That's considered to be a tax preference. So when you do that, you find that some people aren't getting a full value for the deduction of their state income taxes now under the system, and increasingly that's going to be more a greater issue as the AMT exemption rates have not kept pace with other things in the code. So this proposal includes the proposition, if you will, that it would do away with the alternative minimum tax. And I don't know too many people who can really defend the alternative minimum tax very well. It's a convoluted mess. You read it and you go, why is that a preference? You know, why would you think that paying high state income tax would be a tax preference? Meaning, you know, when you say a tax preference, that's a strategy somebody's taking to reduce their federal tax. So you're saying, I live in California and I vote for tax increases, so I can pay more state income taxes so I can save a little bit less federal income tax.
But you're still netting down.
Yeah, you're losing the money. Yeah. I mean, it defies logic. And the interesting thing as an example about this particular proposal is it's going to impact – blue states more than red states in general. You look and say, okay, New York and California have some of the highest tax rates. So those citizens of those states are more likely to lose value of the deduction for state income taxes in their tax return, unless they're in the AMT, because then they weren't getting it anyway. So running a model right now to say who's this going to affect and who isn't, very, very difficult. We just don't have, there's not enough meat on the bones to really identify this stuff.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Bill, the situation that is there now is we're seeing sausage being made in public with the tax law. I would think as soon as any of the deductions that we were alluding to in the last segment get even referenced, boom, here comes that lobby group. Boom, here comes that special interest group. Boom, that's that employee group.
No doubt. And that's where the rubber hits the road. I mean, first of all, you got the lobbyists, and then you got two parties who don't work together. So, you know, our elected, and I don't care who's the president and who's in Congress.
They can't
play in the sandbox together. They all want all the toys, right? And so, you know, they'll give the other party the one broken toy, and they want everything else for themselves. And so, you know, it's sad because I think, you know, we're getting what we deserve with regard to our electeds, both sides of the, you know, I just don't see them. I don't see them working for the American people. I see them working for other things.
Well, my thought with this is, with all these deductions and stuff, the only reason deductions are in play is because there's so much money being confiscated, taken from the wage earner. Mm-hmm. Well, if there was less being taken, less need for deductions. If everybody paid, let's use tithing, right? 10% across the board, that's it. Mm-hmm. Boy, does that clarify things. And nobody's going to really complain because everybody wins.
Theoretically, okay. I mean,
almost a reflection of the size of government.
Yeah, the size of government's a whole other issue. I mean,
deductions are in there to modify behavior.
This proposal is not trying to reduce the size of government. This proposal is not trying to reduce the amount of income that's going to come in.
And
the idea is, okay, we're going to make it maybe less complicated, and we're going to try to do some things that incentivize certain types of behaviors. But there's only so many. I mean, what you're talking about here is they're talking about lowering tax rates on corporations. We can agree that the American corporate tax rate is not competitive across the width and breadth of the planet, and that creates problems. So this is taking the U.S. corporate tax rate down to 20%. And
where is it now?
35 or 36.
Significant chunk.
At the top. I mean, it's a graduated. You know, the first 50,000 is taxed at 15%. So, you know, so we're talking about and I don't even know if they're talking about graduated rates or one rate. I don't know. But the point is they're talking about trying to bring that rate down, because what we've seen is this offshoring of U.S. companies moving stuff offshore with the idea of trying to avoid tax And
because
so,
they can.
And the assets don't end up getting repatriated to the United States. They stay offshore because of the tax rate associated with that. And so what this is intending to do is to try to create a corporate tax rate that's more competitive across the world, and which would they're also trying to create mechanisms where some of these assets that have been are now domiciled offshore could come back without undue penalty and whatnot.
Is 20% average?
I think
international.
I think they say 22% is kind of the average rate, so it'd be just slightly.
It's in
under.
There.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, 35 to 36 is way above, and creates incentives to do things that probably that are at least arguable to not be in the best interest of all of us.
Well, I would think so. If it gets lowered now, all the cost of having offshore, it really does then come in to account. And things kind of make a little bit more sense quickly.
It also takes a burden off of U.S. corporations from the standpoint that, if a local bank I know of pays, 40 cents on the dollar of U.S. and California tax effectively. So that's what is planned for. This would reduce that not in half because a portion of that's state tax. But it would reduce it by some.
There's breathing room, though.
It would, potentially.
Would be with us.
Potentially.
So why not do that as a separate piece of legislation, deal with corporate tax, and then deal with income tax as a separate? I mean, most of us see them as separate things. Why combine the two?
I think they're going to combine the two because it's very difficult. It's going to be difficult to do it once. For one of them, it's going to be easier to handle it in one fell swoop.
So running the gauntlet twice is really
pretty
tough.
Difficult.
Okay.
And the idea is they're going to be theoretically looking at saying, okay, this change is going to have this effect over here. There's some things we have to look at. I mean, this framework says that it's going to double or it's going to effectively double the standard deduction. From what it is now. Well, we have to look at that and say, what are you measuring? Because they're going to, they're talking about doing away with certain exemptions that we currently have and just packing it all into the standard deduction. But
why have the deduction at all? Why not just drop everything 2 points?
Because what that accomplishes is that people on the bottom end, if you have an exemption, they don't pay tax till they get to a certain point. So under this proposal, you'd have $24,000 a married couple would make, and they wouldn't pay a penny of tax on the first $24,000. And then they would begin paying tax. So what it does is create a buffer for people on the margins, people who are just starting out, to have a chunk of their earnings not be subject to tax. And whether or not this
or bump that 24 to 35.
Well, they are bumping it to get to 24 is what this says. Question is whether they really are or not. I don't know because you got to look at it. You got to look at what the standard deduction was. What did they get for exemptions last year? Is this really doing that? Because you're replacing the exemption with an increased standard deduction. Is it really creating a bigger buffer for people at the bottom of the rate structure? And that's an open question right now.
How thick is this document? For somebody to get a sense of...
There it is, 9 pages.
Wow, let's talk about tax simplification when we come back.
Well, okay.
Holy cow. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:41.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Bill McCauley. Bill, looking at the size, and you've referenced a number of times, this is really, really, really rough. Okay.
Yeah.
but the general sense you have. On a 10-point scale, is this a 6, a 7, an 8, or is this a 1, a 2, a 3?
I think that because there are elements of simplification, I would say it's over the 5 mark. But it's incomplete, Brian. I mean, a 9-page document that talks about more about concepts than it does, actual,
specifics
is very difficult to know. So I don't
see. Too early to even have an opinion?
Well, I mean, I'm interested in seeing the law simplified. I mean, I can make an argument. I don't want the law to change at all because maybe I make more money with more complexity. But I don't want to make money based on complexity in law. I want to make money based on, an efficient tax structure. And people are still going to need us. It's just a question. Maybe fewer people will need us. I don't know. Across the width and breadth, probably, they're talking about there's a concept here that more and more people will be able to do more of a postcard-sized tax return.
Yeah, and I had actually heard that reference.
I would argue do not send your tax information on a postcard.
Yeah.
There is an issue with divulging information. Anyway, so I think that's a bad metaphor that they use when they say a postcard because we had enough problems with identity theft.
Yeah.
Here's my Social Security number, but I put it on the back of the card so nobody can.
So what kind of time frame are you thinking this thing is going to take before it really gets to a point where it can be analyzed? A month, 6 weeks?
Yeah, I think it'll probably be somewhere out there in a month or two. I think they're going to work on it this fall, and I think you're going to start seeing more concrete proposals. And who knows? What this looks like, what the sausage, it's sausage making, and it's not pretty.
It would be really intriguing if this was coming to the forefront as the election cycles started ramping up. Because then you got all the congressmen that are going to be voting yay or nay on this thing, having to probably be held accountable for yes or no, and then justification for reasons why.
Yeah.
At least you get discussion on it at that point.
Sure. And I don't know how to even approach that because I just don't. I mean, in my simplistic way of looking at the world, I don't understand how our politicians work. Really, I mean, I get the influences, but to me, it's exasperating that people can't work together. And
yeah, have a beer afterwards.
Yeah, figure it out because the problem is we put off real important problems. And we're putting them off into future generations.
It's like a diversion.
We need to deal with stuff now.
And this is one of those.
Yeah.
And then we'll worry about Social Security.
Exactly.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet. Thank you, Brian.
See everybody tomorrow.